Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
All right, let's do a radio show, shall we? And we'll do it until 3 o'clock, and then Ro and Anna will do a radio show. And boy, that'll be a radio show. Hi, it's John. We're on the lovely Sunkissed first full day of summer showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. It's really pretty. Outside, and we're doing the best we can inside, too. In fact, today is National Selfie Day. Kim, did you take a selfie of yourself? And did you post it or share it with me? I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on the Twitter. I want to see you. There's pictures of us on all of those platforms. So if you're an Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter user, go find me. I'm WGN John Williams, or various versions of that. And share us a pic of yourself for Twitter Day. We were taking one in the office this morning, and then who just happened to come by and photobomb it but Andrea Darlis. And like all pictures of Andrea Darlis, she looks great. So there's that. And that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. How do you find me? Well, let's see. On Instagram, I'm WGN John Williams. Are you on Instagram? On Twitter, I'm WGN King John. On Facebook, I'm John Williams. I need to... what am I on Facebook? King John? King John on Facebook.
Yes.
The problem is we've got all of these different platforms which have been, you know, put out at different times. And then you go to them at different times. And now I don't have the same handle for all of them. So at some point I'm going to consolidate my handles. But there's that. Around 2:30, I want to talk to somebody who's going to advocate for the sugar tax that is going to go into effect in Cook County the 1st of July. If you saw Eric Zorn's piece about this in the Chicago Tribune a few days ago, it's pretty devastating. Zorn is good, but point by point, he just points out why this tax is either unfair or wrong-headed. It's hard to turn down the money, and I think we would all have more respect for the sweet beverage tax in Cook County of a penny per ounce if they would just say, look, this is probably going to be better for you because you're going to drink less soda now. But really, we're doing this because we need the money. If they would just say that, I think I would respect it. I'd go, yeah, boy, we sure do. Did Governor Rauner call Illinois a banana republic, or we're on the verge of being a banana republic? Our finances are such a mess. We have so little hope of being able to pay our bills, blah, blah, blah. And so I believe he used the phrase banana republic. Maybe he didn't, but you know what it's like here. And that's the state, but the city and county are all struggling. So if somebody says, look, we just need a lot more of your money, and we're just going to take it. What do you breathe air? We're going to have an air tax. You drink soda, we're going to have a soda tax. I think I would respect that. I would understand that. But what they're saying is that it would be healthier for you. You'd have less chance of getting diabetes and obesity. And if we all do that, then we have less medical expenses. I mean, it's all good if we don't drink soda. You know that. I know that. So let's just go ahead and tax it a penny per ounce. When I first heard about the campaign, I thought a penny per ounce doesn't sound that bad. It's just a penny per ounce. How much are you going to drink? But a 2-liter bottle, which is how you're going to buy it, goes up 64 cents. 64 cents. So if you can find it on sale for like 99, now it's $1.63. I really do think, you know, a lot of times taxes, I think people go, oh, it's another 10 cents for a beer at the bar. If you got $4 for the beer or $9 for the beer or whatever you're paying for the beer at the bar, you got 9 1/4. I would say just pass it along to the consumers. They'll pick it up. I'm not so sure about this one. I can see how this would dramatically decrease people's consumption of those sweet beverages. So that hurts the beverage retailers and the distributors and the employees and so on and so forth. Maybe that's a trade we should be making, right? Some of you are going to suffer. You'll have less money. You might not even have a job, but the rest of us will benefit because we'll be healthier. I guess that's the trade we're all deciding is okay for us to make at their expense. Because we need the government to manage our personal health. We can't make up these decisions ourselves. And if you're going to go down that road, as Zorn points out, he's not the only one to notice this, then why aren't we taxing cupcakes and donuts in this town? Boy, they got some good donut joints in this town. You want to really get people to start eating right, put a dollar tax on a donut. Maybe more than that. They're already like $9. If you want to get their attention, you better make it more than that.
As your nanny?
Yeah.
I'm okay with tax policy to influence health.
I am to an extent. I mean, I understand social policy.
Because I'm paying for it, too. You know, I am paying for it. If everyone who's on, you know, government, getting government assistance for bad health, for bad health habits, you know, I'm paying for part of that. So and, I don't mind that.
Yeah. Well, then you probably want more, right? You want them to start taxing candy bars and frappuccinos and donuts and cake.
I'm not the bad guy here. It's the guy with diabetes. That's the bad guy.
Oh, no, he is.
No.
You want to take that back.
I just bought a 20-ounce Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Which I think is taxed as well, right?
It would be, yeah. And by the way,
if that's not a sugary drink.
Well, it's included in this because it's sweet tasting. It's a diet beverage, but it's sweet tasting.
Well, but it's not contributing to health problems.
There are some, right. Although there are some studies that say that there's complications with artificial.
Whacked out, those people.
Fine. But, I mean, think about this too, Steve. The 20 ounces that you bought, was that with ice in the cup or was that in a container? What kind of container
was it? It was a bottle.
It was a bottle.
Yeah.
Because think about that. If you go to, say, a 7-Eleven and you get the ice with the soda in it, or a McDonald's and they put the ice with the soda in it, if it's a 20-ounce cup, probably 5 or 6 or 7 of those ounces are ice, right? Maybe 10 of those ounces are ice. But they'll still charge you the full volume. They'll tax you like it's 20 ounces.
So the people
you're not
who
getting
like,
20 ounces.
People who like their soda fountain drinks without ice are getting a deal compared to the ones who like a lot of ice.
Right. If you put ice in there, you are being taxed on the ice. Now, that's just a fact. That's just a fact. And if you do think like Steve, then I'll tell you what, Captain Crunch should be getting taxed. Captain Crunch should be getting taxed. You start taxing Captain Crunch, boy, Frosted Flakes, Sugar Pops, Alphabet Cereal, some of my personal favorites. Well, then you've got yourself a legislative crisis. But where are they going to come up with the money? Casey wanted to say something. Hey, Casey, why don't you get us started? You're on WGN.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, John. I know Steve just touched on it, but people who use the Link card and WIC coupons, they're not taxed at all.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's wrong.
I didn't touch on that.
Just a certain... Oh, I thought you...
Well, people who are on the SNAP, if you are on, you know, whatever you call SNAP, they would not pay, as I understand it. SNAP beneficiaries would not have to pay for this.
Right. SNAP, WIC, Link, nobody has to pay but the people who use cash.
And you could probably make the case that some of those people who live in desert islands sometimes, or food deserts, not desert islands, but food deserts, people who have trouble gaining access to healthy food will oftentimes eat these very unhealthy foods. And if you were really going to do the public a favor, be heavy-handed as it is, then you should do them a favor. But they will have easy access to that still. Yeah. I got your point. I appreciate your call. This is Patrick. You're on WGN. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Again, I just can only restate the fact that every county around us is loving this law.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just like the cigarette tax law, the cigarette sales in every county around here skyrocketed when they passed. It's like $120 for a carton of cigarettes in Crook County, and I can go to any county around and pay $60 to $70 a carton.
I was.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Where was I the other day? I watched somebody buy a single pack of cigarettes at. I forget where I was the other day, but anyway,
the guy put.
And
your jaw dropped.
How much? Like, it did. How much did it? How much does one pack cost? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's like 10 or 11 if you could find it at a good gas station. And again, I have not bought. I smoke a pack and a half a day. I have not bought one pack of cigarettes in this county since they raised the tax.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. I've actually gone.
Now you cut out. Thanks for the call. I know where it was. It was a liquor store because I was buying some liquor. And because it was Father's Day and we were going to have Brandy Alexander's and I needed to get dark cream de coco, as I was standing there with my bottle, which was costing me like $11 or $12, the guy behind me bought a little tiny pack of cigarettes. And I swear to God, it was it $12 or $14. And when I heard her say that amount, I did a double take. I didn't want to kind of call the guy out with my glance, but I looked back like, are you kidding me? I would stop smoking tomorrow or really try. Maybe this is the point, right? Because that's insane. That's 12 or 14 bucks. And I'm looking at this little pack there and I thought, oh man, and you're going to need another pack tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Wow, was that expensive. And maybe that's the county saying, yep, that's right. We're doing this man a favor. We're going to drive him to stop smoking. And in the meantime, we are going to get a lot of his money. Boy, if you're addicted to soda and tobacco, and by the way, that's kind of what happens with the cigarette smokers. If you live deep in Cook County, if you live deep in the city of Chicago, you really do have to sort of be strategic about your purchase because you know you are going to buy those things. You are addicted to them. You are for now. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to buy them out of convenience. You're going to pay the freight. You are disproportionately paying a higher amount of the burden that all of us should really be bearing. Tony's next on line three. Hey, Tony, what did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John. First off, thank you for talking about this today. This has been in my craw for a while. I think it's one of the most unfair taxes that I've ever seen. But, you know, being a small business owner and have friends that are, every one of them said that they're not going to sell any kind of beverages, whatever anymore.
It's not worth the hassle, huh?
Yeah, well, he said, you know, he says, I make 7 cents on a can of pop.
Come on now, that's not true. You know that they're not going to stop selling them.
Well, let me ask you this. You have to buy it, you have to store it, you have to sell it, and you have to pay tax on it, okay? How much profit is he really going to get when he went for that little bit?
Yeah.
It's not worth the hassle. It really isn't. And the other thing is, I personally, you're not going to tell me this is for my own benefit. Who are they to tell me what I can or can't do or what I should or shouldn't do, you know? And you are right, John. Everybody's addicted to that, and they're going to buy it, and that's what they go by. I watched my father, poor guy, spend all of his money on cigarettes because he's addicted to them,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think that's
so wrong.
Well,
if we all kicked a habit, the county and state and city would be screwed. The last thing they want us to all do, if you think about it, is stop smoking or drinking soda. What they really, you know, I think they speak with forked tongue. I think what they really want us to do is continue to smoke and drink alcohol and soda and all that stuff, because that's where the money's coming from. Think about that. If that stuff went away, if those revenue streams went away, what would they do to replace it? They'd have to come up with something. So what they do is they pick on the easiest targets. The people that are addicted to tobacco, well, that's a sin. That's bad. They should pay. People that are drinking soda, that's bad. You shouldn't be drinking soda. They should pay. I mean, you can avoid these taxes, but somebody's going to pay the freight. It's summertime again. It just couldn't be prettier outside right now. I get to be with my friend. This is the first full day of summer. It's going to be a long one. The summer's here. This is my favorite part.
We can picnic and swim and barbecue. I can't wait till those high summer.
This is my favorite summer song. Talk to somebody who's going to argue in favor. It's so easy to run down this new law in Cook County that goes into effect July 1st, penny per ounce for sweetened beverages. It's so easy to sort of put that down. I have been, a lot of our callers have been, but there's another side to the story, and we'll hear that at 2:30. Also, did you hear the graduation speech that kid in Pennsylvania gave in Exeter, Pennsylvania? Eastern Pennsylvania. He was the valedictorian and the senior class president. He was also the junior class president. And He was the sophomore class president, and 3 years ago he was the freshman class president. He's one of those kids. Real achiever, nice kid, standing up there giving the graduation speech. And then towards the end of the graduation speech, I couldn't find out how long it was, but he started to run down the school administration. He said that he didn't like them, that they didn't put any teeth in student government, and the student council was sort of all the student council was able to do is make signs to put up in the hall and, you know, have pep rallies. There was no teeth in the student government. So he started to run them down when he was up on stage. Elif, can you play a little of this? So this is him saying that.
Throughout my time at Wyoming Area, I have pursued every leadership opportunity available to me. In addition to being a member of student council since I was a freshman, my classmates have also elected me class president the past 4 years, which has been my greatest honor. And I would like to thank you all for that one final time. It really means a lot.
This is a good speech.
However, uh-oh, at our school, the title of class president could more accurately be class party planner, and student council's main obligation is to paint signs every week. Despite some of the outstanding people in our school, the lack of a real student government, combined with the authoritative attitude that a few teachers, administrators, and board members have...
Authoritative attitude of the board members.
...developing as leaders.
Wait a minute.
Hopefully, this will change.
Uh-oh. They cut his mic. They cut his mic, and now the superintendent is coming up to him and waving him off the stage.
Oh, no.
And now the entire student body has risen, and they're giving a standing ovation to the kid. Kid was on Jimmy Kimmel last night and finished the speech. Bertrand, your thoughts, go.
You get to be young and foolish.
Yeah.
And he'll look back and think, oh.
Oh, do you think the kid is going to regret having run down the school at the end of his speech? It was kind of a silly point.
Right.
You're right.
But when you're in that moment and you're of that age, you...
It's all you've got. You're 18 years old.
Going to speak truth to power, damn it. Mrs. Lampley in the lunchroom.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Lehman, that was my principal. And actually, the principal at my school at Manuka back in the day was an awesome guy. And his daughters went to school with us, and they were terrific young ladies. We had a great principal. I was a student council officer when I was in high school, and we were pretty toothless back then, too. It didn't dawn on any of us to rail against it. I sort of knew that was our lot in life.
Right. Well, it's because you were toothless. You were 15.
I know. And frankly, we shouldn't have teeth yet.
Right.
What do you want the kid to do? Make decisions about, I'm sorry, if you're a student, you just need to sit there and work on your 3 hours.
Right, we're going to hire the STEM teachers, but you get to pick the art teacher.
So then he started to speak truth to power. And then they come up and they walk him off. They shouldn't have cut his mic. To me, the biggest takeaway on this whole story is that the internet blows up and exaggerates everything. It wasn't that bad or stupid, and them cutting his mic wasn't that grave a sin. They probably shouldn't have done that, but only the internet blows it up. Those families would have told that story for a few years, but it just would not have been a big deal. Now it's immortalized on the internet, and now that poor school board has to answer questions from radio shows in Chicago. That's not fair to them. It's just a tiny little incident, you know? It's 1:29. Okay, so we'll pause here. We're going to do the news. By that, I mean Steve's going to do the news. Hey, did you see who's in town? Luis Miranda. That would be Lin-Manuel's dad. And he's going to join us after your news, Steve. I know a lot of you want to talk about the beverage tax, and we get back to that at 2:30. On WGN.
Talk less.
What?
Smile more. Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for. You can't be serious. You want to get ahead.
1:39 now. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. The 43rd annual Forefront Luncheon is going to be tomorrow at the Chicago Hilton. And the featured speaker is Luis A. Miranda Jr. and cast members from the Chicago Company of Hamilton. That's not Lin-Manuel. This is his father. The Forefront organization is for nonprofits, grant makers, advisors, social impact organizations. And they're going to talk about, among other things, how they're bringing Hamilton to Chicago public school students. Luisa Miranda has served in 3 New York City mayoral administrations. I didn't know the story of his father. He's the founder and former president of the Hispanic Federation, a service-oriented membership organization, works with Latino health and human service agencies. He's the board member of the John Jay College Foundation and the public theater there. So it's interesting that Lin-Manuel comes from that background. Luis is on a phone line and joins us now here on WGN. Welcome to the show in Chicago. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me there. I'll be there in person later on tonight and then at Forefront tomorrow.
With, I guess, some members of the cast, huh? Some members of the cast, I think, will be joining you on stage, too.
I am. It's just not some members of the cast. I'm going to be with Miguel Cervantes, who plays the Hamilton title, and with Karen Olivo, who plays Angelica Schuyler. So I'm going to be with two fantastic actors who have been doing Hamilton since it opened in Chicago.
I saw somewhere that there's a program for Chicago public school students to see Hamilton and that thousands of them have. Is that true? And do you have the numbers on that?
It is true. And in fact, a commitment that my son and the producers have made from the very beginning was to use Hamilton as an educational tool. We started in New York when Hamilton moved to Broadway and sort of made a commitment that we will do it in every city where Hamilton opened. So we have been in Chicago and 8,000 to 10,000 students have already seen the show in Chicago. It's part of a larger initiative where we're in partnership with the Gilda Lerman Institute of American History. And what they do is that they work with history teachers. So it's a perfect partnership for Hamilton, history teachers, and teachers using the Hamilton lyrics and music as part of the curriculum of American history. And then it ends up with the kids, all Title I high school kids, going to see the show and spend a magnificent time at the Private Bank Theater.
Do the kids have to pay for those tickets, or are they given to them?
Our commitment is that the kids come for free. And we have been working with New York public schools to make sure that the kids get there and they can do this for free.
Well, you've always been an activist working with Latino organizations in New York, evidently. And how fortunate and almost ironic for you that your son creates a musical that serves very well your purpose all along.
It is. It's you know, Lin-Manuel is a very special dude, very smart, very smart, very sensitive, very in tune with what's happening. His first show in the Heights was sort of the first time Latinos were on a Broadway stage, and you know they were doing the normal things that happen in neighborhoods rather than being gang members in a show. And now Hamilton, sort of it's like perfect timing for it because it shows how we have an imperfect nation that was created by imperfect men and women, but that we continue to strive to make it better. That's sort of the message of Hamilton and how an immigrant from the Caribbean can go on to create as much as Hamilton created, which shows us that from the beginning of our nation, immigrants have been such an important part of the fabric of our society.
Yeah. You know, I know how proud I am of my kids when they accomplish something. I can't imagine what it must be like for you to see your son so celebrated and to have so much success and impact, as you're describing, with this production. Did you know from the get-go that this was going to be that kind of a hit? When did you get the feeling that my son may be onto something here?
Well, I have always known that my son is a hit. He was that kind of kid who was never good as part of the chorus line, but shine beyond everyone else around him. He hates when I say all of these things. So the fact that I'm saying it on the radio will have him go under the table. But it was clear to all of us when we saw Hamilton that it was very special, that he was portraying American history in a very unique way, with a very unique cast, in very modern vernacular hip-hop and Broadway music. But you never know that anything is going to be as big as Hamilton has turned out to be. You know that it's great. And the fact that it has been able to break all records, it's just an unbelievable feeling as a parent and as a theater goer.
Well, did you have any advice for him? Did you say, hey, son, I'm not sure the casting is right or this song needs to be tweaked? Did you talk to him at all about any of those things before any of us saw it?
Whenever I do that, my son asks me to shut up. Very nicely, always very nicely. Yeah. But he doesn't want my notes. So I have learned not to give them and just to enjoy his creations.
Yeah. Well, when you are up talking tomorrow in Chicago, what are you going to be saying?
Well, I'm going to be talking a little more about the journey of an immigrant in the United States. My son has said many times that when he read Ron's Pulitzer Prize winner book, Hamilton, and realized that Hamilton came from the Caribbean at 18 years of age and sort of had to deal with that reality, he said to himself, I know this guy. This guy is my dad, who also moved to New York from the Caribbean at the same age. So I want to talk about that journey and what that journey is all about and how it can lead us to the fact that a Puerto Rican family is sort of now partly in charge of teaching American history to people who have been here for generations. But that should be the right thing. It should be the new migrant and immigrant group, the one that makes our country better.
Luis, one last question for you about that. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic about where we are as a country right now? Along those lines.
I think we're in a very bad place because we have very bad leadership in the White House. But I believe that we have created enough of a powerful system of checks and balances that at the end will work and put us back on the right track.
Well, the tickets, as I understand it, maybe I'm mistaken here. The press release I have is a little bit dated, but you can get tickets to your speech and to hear some of the stars of Hamilton on stage if you visit myforefront.org. Myforefront, F-O-R-E, myforefront.org. And you will be in Chicago tomorrow at the 43rd annual luncheon. Nice to meet you. Congratulations. Continued success to both you and your son.
And thank you for having me on your radio program.
Luis Miranda, 148. This is WGN. You know, I'm reading about this. Steve, maybe you were paying more close attention to this than I was. You know that big total solar eclipse that's coming to southern Illinois?
I guess it's coming. Is it the first in 99 years or something like
that? Yeah, it's coming to the whole planet, of course. But I guess McCanda, Illinois is going to be the place to watch it. I thought that was going to be like today or tomorrow. I don't think that's until later in August. But the southernmost section of Illinois, will have bragging rights for the longest duration of the total solar eclipse. But I'm just now looking that up. That's not going to be till sometime in August, so I'll put that on hold for now.
Okay. Today is you don't want to head down there now?
I've been in Southern Illinois for weird events. Do you remember the harmonic convergence? I believe that's what they called it when all of the planets lined up in a way that would maximize their gravitational pull on Earth.
I do not, John.
And the idea was that therefore, because of this harmonic convergence, and there was one of these sort of religious guys or cult leaders who were saying this is a sign of the apocalypse or the end of the Earth, and you need to do right because it's going to be the end of civilization. And some people thought now the tides are going to be more severe and there's going to be earthquakes and volcanoes. And they wondered if it wouldn't actually affect fault lines. And so I took my Peoria radio show and we picked it up and moved it to the New Madrid Fault in Southern Illinois and broadcast live from there so that we could be on the air live at like 7:21 in the morning when everything would be at its greatest, most powerful strength. And we would witness it live on the radio. The earth would start to rumble. And the place was filled. CNN, whatever the equivalent of Fox News was then, everybody was down there. Satellite trucks from all over. And little radio shows and big radio shows. Nothing happened. We didn't have so much as a burp. And of course it wouldn't be. It was just kind of a wild radio gag, I guess. But the whole media was there. Everybody was waiting for something to happen. I'll never forget, so we had the president of the Chamber of Commerce on, and I said, well, this is pretty cool for you guys. At least you're on the map. And do you want to know what he said about that?
What?
He said, yeah, but for the wrong reason. We're on the New Madrid Fault. People are afraid of that. You're here because you think because of this lining of the planets, the Earth's going to shake a little bit more here in our town. How does that help me?
And what town were you in?
In Southern Illinois, in New Madrid or someplace like that.
Well, I mean, you could tell them we weren't going anyway.
Yeah. I don't know that would have helped.
Sir, it got us here.
I know, really. Take it while you can get it because we are not coming back.
No.
In fact, if you ever spend much time in Southern Illinois, and I lived there for a few years and went to school there, it is so different than Cook County or Chicago or the collar counties or the suburbs. Or Peoria. You get south of Springfield. And it's amazing that we are all in the same state.
Yeah.
Because they could not be more different places.
Remember Glenn Pichard? He was the far downstate congressman.
Yeah.
And ran for governor against, I think he lost to George Ryan. And I was talking to him one time about how big the state is and people don't realize. And when he would fly to and from Washington, he would fly out of Memphis.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah, because that was the most convenient airport to him.
You know, you sometimes shake your head and think Donald Trump or Barack Obama or whomever has to be the president of all of these people. And then you'll have, you know, and you think of that when you see somebody who is some very peculiar sort of person. They're very rich and elite, or they're very poor and have completely different mindsets and life experiences. And you go, wow, the president has to do the best for all of them. And I feel the same way about the governor, say, or a state lawmaker. What is right for Cook County or Chicago or Naperville is completely alien to the people of Southern Illinois. They don't know, like, or respect us up here. And it's you can't even understand some of the people in Southern Illinois sometimes. And yet there we all are under the same tent.
Well, same thing. You know, go down to Effingham or somewhere and you're, you know, everything going around there is the most important thing to you. And all you hear about state government and its involvement in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Cook County.
Well, you think they would almost want to sort of disassociate themselves. Sorry, we'll be a different state south of Springfield, but it would be a very poor state. It would be a very poor state.
Can we disassociate ourselves? Because maybe we can just do that individually.
I know, because right. If they do that, maybe I'll move there just because I don't want to have to bear the burden of fixing Chicago, Cook County, and Illinois.
The traffic could be thousands of independent states coming in on the Edens.
It's 1:57. By the way, I didn't mention that, speaking of Luis Miranda, Hamilton, Teddy Roosevelt tickets are still for sale. More details about that after the news. But if you want to see a real-life president and history come to life and what it would mean to us today, go to WGNradio.com/events. I interview TR on stage at the College of DuPage the second Saturday in August. You really should see that.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Got an hour.
Here's John Williams.
To crank one out. here until 3 o'clock. It's now 2:08. Hey, it's John Williams. Happy first day of summer.
Lord have mercy.
Thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you want to join us along the way, and I hope you do, the number's 312-981-7200. You can text to that same number, too, of course, and we'd love to read your text or take your phone call. Tony Preckwinkle will join us. That's Tony Preckwinkle will join us. That'll be a little after the 2:30 news. We started the show talking about that sweetened beverage tax, which goes into effect in Illinois, in the Cook County, in 10 days. A lot of people want that thing to not happen, but I don't think anything I can say to her in a half an hour is going to persuade her to, I don't know, rescind it, veto it, turn back the clock. But we'll ask her what those options are and how does she justify it to some of you who called in earlier and said you don't like it. That'll be a half hour from now. Tony Preckwinkle. It's 2:09. So Karen Handel in the 6th Congressional District in Georgia beats John Ossoff. You know, just before the election, they were saying it's 49-49. The final score was 53-47. And so she wins. $50 million may be spent on that congressional seat, which I have to note pays about $175,000 a year. And the crowd that was at her victory rally was chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. If there's any wonder what this election was all about for this congressional seat. On Monday, we talked to Tamar Hallerman. She is a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We asked her to come back and sort of recap for us what happened. Tamar, it's John Williams. Welcome back to WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me again.
You surprised by the margin or the outcome?
What was amazing here is that after spending more than $30 million, the Democrat and his allies, he did not do any better than Hillary Clinton did here back in 2016. I think that is the biggest item to come out of this story.
I was wondering about that. I mean, I suppose the Democrats could spin it and the Republicans could spin it too. And here's maybe the Democratic spin. Tell me if this has any traction, that a political novice, a nobody, a newcomer steps up and almost in Newt Gingrich's old seat, almost defeats a Republican. So we lost, but that's just a shot across the broadside for Republicans. Is that the way they're trying to work this message?
They're trying to say how a special election is a special election, how this race should not have any bearing in people's minds on what could happen next year in the midterms when control of the House is actually up for grabs. In a way, they're right. Back in 2005, we saw similar things with the Republicans, and then they lost the House the year after that. We saw similar things in 2010 with the Democrats eventually losing control of the House. So who knows at this point? But either way, it's pretty amazing after all the money that was spent how little can change. You see some Democrats saying, look, you know, he still did way better than the Democrat back in 2016 did in this district, which is true. He swung the district by almost 20 points, but that still was not enough to win this seat.
How are Republicans categorizing this win?
A total and complete victory. Everybody's kind of running their victory laps right now. You know, they're saying that the party's platform that has to do with taxes, with health care, is alive and well, that Trump was not as much of a drag on the ticket as people thought. It really is a victorious day for them.
Do they also, though, say, I mean, I'm curious about that, because I think that even if you can win in spite of the president as a Republican, maybe you don't want to run too close to him. It sounds like she's fully embracing the association here.
Yes and no. On the one hand, yes, she definitely embraced him. She campaigned with the president. She campaigned with his surrogates who came down here. But on the other hand, she took a lot of pains to put some distance between herself and the White House. In her speeches last night, she really didn't mention the president. And I think that's the most important lesson for Republicans coming out of this race. It shows that you know, Trump is not a drag on the ticket, but it also shows that as a Republican, you can kind of set your own rules and try and find a balance. It is possible to achieve that, at least here in Georgia.
Well, maybe she wanted to be cautious about it, but this is what I heard. This is the crowd from her, you know, victory speech last night.
And a special thanks to the President of the United States of America.
And then they start chanting Trump, 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 Trump. So at least some Trump supporters were in the crowd last night.
For sure. But overall, what made this district so competitive, at least in the eyes of the Democrats, was the fact that even in this traditional Republican enclave, Trump barely won in 2016. He only won by about 1.5 percentage points compared to Mitt Romney in 2012, who carried it by more than 20 points. So clearly, a lot of Republicans, maybe not the ones who were at Karen Handel's watch party yesterday, a lot of them here are uncomfortable with Trump. And you saw John Ossoff, the Democrat, try and play to that. It clearly did not work yesterday.
How was turnout? Did a lot of folks vote?
Absolutely. This far exceeded any estimate for what could happen for a special election here. It was closer to what you'd see in a midterm congressional election. So sky-high turnout. There was some pretty bad rain here yesterday that might have dampened things a little bit. We don't really know, but I think the consensus among Republicans is that it ultimately ended up helping Karen Handel.
Do you have any comment or knowledge about this? I read that it may have been helpful to Republican voter turnout in this election that the Republican baseball team was attacked a couple of weeks ago. Was anybody correlating the two? Maybe there was a cause factor, a sympathy factor, an urgency factor to Republican messaging after that?
You know, I heard that. And there were some local Republicans here who were quoted as saying they think it will help them. Certainly, gun rights are really popular here among Republicans in particular. And that has been a motivating factor in past races. It's really unclear at this point how much that moved the needle here.
And I also heard something about a letter that was sent to her or some of her supporters, an ugly sort of letter. Can you comment on that at all?
Yeah, this was about a day or two after the baseball shooting in Alexandria. A letter popped up on her front door and the front doors of several of her neighbors, kind of threatening her. And then there was also some white powder that was found in them that authorities were worried was anthrax. My understanding is that did not turn out to be the case, but there's an FBI investigation. And after that moment, both candidates got a little worried about security. I know John Ossoff, the Democrat, had a bodyguard for the last few days. And Karen Handel even commented last night in her speech how nobody should be punished for their political belief.
You know, I'm just an outsider looking in, but if you said, here is an ugly letter on the front door of the candidate, that's going to get attention. And the reaction, I think, will make the candidate look more sympathetic. If that's your way of intimidating the candidate, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face, just politically speaking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, that's a valid argument.
So now she's going to represent you through this term. She'll have to run for re-election like all the rest of the members of Congress. But she's got deep political roots, deeper than Ossoff did there. So she may have this seat for a while now, huh?
Yeah, it certainly is possible. Not only is she a known commodity here, but once you're sworn into Congress and become an incumbent, there's a ton of advantages that are baked into the system. Not only can you tap into all of these fundraising networks in Washington, D.C., but part of your job is also to go around and meet people in your district constantly. You know, you're talking to the Kiwanis Club, you're talking to the Rotary, you're meeting business owners. That inherently gives you advantage when you need to go campaign for re-election again that next year.
Yeah, the incumbency rate's over 90%. It's ridiculous. One last thing then. So what kind of a vote is she? Is she going to be a consistent conservative vote then in the Congress?
That's what she's been telling us. And I don't have any reason to believe that'll be different. I see her more aligned perhaps with the more establishment-oriented wings of the Republican Party than, say, the Freedom Caucus, just because that's a reflection of the district where she's from. This is a wealthy district. This is a well-educated district. A lot of the people here, you know, they go into Atlanta to work corporate jobs, very white collar. So I see that as more in line with the establishment wing.
trying to remember what the president's tweet was, but something like, we're 5-0. He was keeping score. He sure was paying attention to this.
Oh, absolutely. Within 20 minutes of the race being called, there were several tweets out. He was definitely watching.
It's nice to talk to you. I hope we can visit again. You're not only a good writer, but an interesting person to talk to. Let's visit again someday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
From the, I was going to say Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I guess I should, because that's the name of the paper, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Tamar Hallerman, the Washington correspondent for them down there. It's 2:18, still to come after the 2:30 edition of WGN Radio News. We'll visit with Tony Preckwinkle about that controversial soda tax. That's all coming up on GN. So how many times should you use your towel before it's advisable to wash it? You've used your towel, you've dried off, you hang your towel up. Well, it's a fine towel, and you're now clean, so it's not dirty. It's damp, but it'll dry out before you use it again. How many times do health experts say you should repeat that cycle before now it's in your interest to wash it? Anyone? Bueller? 3 is the answer.
Well, that's what health experts say.
Are you kidding me? Elif was going to say 3?
I was going to say 3, between 3 and 5.
I would go 3 weeks. I'm living largely alone from my wife for the last 3 or 4 months now because of our move and the way it's just working out with her being in one place and me being in another. And I don't want to say on the radio how long I've let that towel go without washing
it. I mean, the towel will tell you.
Well, that's what they say. If you smell the towel and it smells bad, that's bacteria. But they said, actually, even if you're not smelling it really bad, 3, you should wash it.
Well, hand towels you're supposed to change once a day.
Wait, you change hand towels?
I don't even use hand towels. Or if I do, I just lay it out flat on the rack, and I don't think I've washed that bad boy much. Washcloths get nice and hot, and you wring them out, and then you hang them over the handle, and the next thing you know, you get in the shower, and you got a clean washcloth there. Elif, your thoughts, go.
Well, as far as dishwash cloths go, I've heard that E. coli is prevalent among...
I don't wash the dishcloth that much either.
Dry your hands on those.
Completely. You know, this is the nice thing about living apart from Brenda. And I love her and I miss her and we'll be reunited soon. But I get to drink out of the milk jug. I just get to do a bunch of guy things. And I can't imagine my wife or anybody's wife... When they're away, like Brenda's living alone too, I don't think she's drinking out of the milk jug.
Right.
I'm drinking out of the milk jug.
What's the most inappropriate thing Brenda's doing without you around?
Nothing. In fact, her life is so much easier because she doesn't have to wonder if while I'm standing there with the refrigerator door open, kind of blocking her view and I got my head down, I could be drinking milk. That's the way I would have to do it if she was around. But she's not, so I just stand there in broad daylight and glug, glug, glug.
And she's living wholly appropriately everything.
This is the thing. And right? I think not only is she pouring glass, you know, she's pouring milk into the glass and then drinking it, which is kind of redundant. You've already got a container.
Then rinsing it and then putting it in the dishwasher.
I know. Why put some of the milk into a container? It's already in a handy container right there for you. It's called the milk jug. But she's not doing that. She's pouring a glass, and then she's drinking the glass. But I guarantee you, she is washing the towels, washcloths. She's washing the dish rags.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, I know it. And she's not doing it for she's not doing it for me. She's not doing it for me. She's doing it for herself. I don't know how you get to be that way. I mean, I live with this woman, and I see the sense of it. And I like living in her house because stuff tends to be cleaner and fresher. So that's all good. But left to my own devices, I find that I'm not as consistent about these sorts of things. So here's the story. It says here, a damp towel is literally growing, according to a microbiologist at New York University School of Medicine. Towels serve as ideal breeding grounds for germs because they contain the requirements for microbial life: water, warm temperatures, plenty of oxygen, maybe a little beer, I just threw that in. Where there is moisture, there are microbes. Because of this, you should only use a towel 3 times before tossing it in the wash. And that's assuming that it gets completely dry after each use. A good indicator that a towel has remained damp for too long is the smell, Well, yeah. Difference between men and women. Guys are drinking from the milk jugs when they're away from their spouses. John Williams here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here on WGN Radio. Columnist Eric Zorn was on with Bill and Wendy. You may have heard the other day they were talking about the sweetened beverage tax, which is scheduled to go into effect July 1st in Cook County. And among other things, Eric said just real quickly here that it's regressive, that it'll even apply to ice. It will almost certainly end free refills. It's not working in Philadelphia that well, where they have instituted one like this. It's being implemented on false pretenses. It's not about our health. It's about the money, he said. It's illogical and it's steep. He said the levy will add 67 cents to the cost of a 2-liter bottle of pop. That 99-cent soda you're looking at will now be $1.66. $1.44 will be added to the cost of a 12-pack. Even a large drink at a fast food restaurant would go up 32 cents, and that's starting July 1st. And by the way, we're in the middle of June. So we thought we'd get the other side of that. Cook County President Tony Preckwinkle joins us now on WGN Radio. Tony, thanks for taking our call. How are you this afternoon?
Good. Thanks very much, John.
I suppose you read that article or heard a little bit about it. Out of the gate, what's your general response to Eric Zorn there?
Well, I think the first thing I would say to our listeners is that if you want good government, you got to pay for it. You know, 46% of our budget is public health, 41% is public safety. That means 87% of our budget is dedicated to supporting public health and public safety. And without additional revenue, we would have seen layoffs of doctors and nurses in our health and hospital system, sheriff's deputies, correctional officers, prosecutors, public defenders in our courts. I mean, there's no way that you can meet the needs that we see in public health and public safety without additional revenue. And we decided that this was the way in which we were going to go. And let me just say, you know, we've got some communities in our county in which young people get 25% of their calories from sweetened beverages. And we've got chronic problems with diabetes and obesity in our country. And just as we, in the past, in the 1960s, decided that, frankly, cigarettes were a public health hazard and we needed to tax them and restrict the places that people could smoke and run an education campaign about smoking. We're part of a larger national effort to call attention to the detrimental effects of sweetened beverages. And, you know, I think that if you've got to raise revenue, you ought to do it in a responsible way. And I surely think this is responsible and contributes to public health.
If you didn't need the revenue, Tony, would you still be behind this? Would you still propose or sign this?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we need a revenue, and then we've got to figure out what's the most responsible way to get that revenue. The county has not raised property taxes at its portion of the property tax bill for more than 20 years.
But you see my point, right? I mean, maybe you don't love this means to an end. I get it. You started by saying we need the money. If you want good government, you have to pay for it. This is a way
exactly
to do that. But if you didn't need the money, would you still be behind this?
Well, I think that there are good public health reasons to tax sweetened beverages, but clearly the reason we have taxes at all is to support government. I mean, we depend on property taxes, although we haven't raised the county's portion of the property tax bill in more than 20 years. We depend on sales taxes. We depend on a variety of taxes and fees to support government. So it's kind of hard for me to figure out how to answer your question.
Well, I guess you could say I don't like this either, but I just have to do it. I mean, I don't want to be government telling people how to lead their lives. We shouldn't eat donuts and drink soda, but we do. But that's an individual choice. I'm going to do this because at least I can justify it by saying it's good for us. But at the end of the day, I don't want to have to tax soda this much. I don't hear you saying that, and yet I think that's a defensible thing to say.
Well, you know, we've talked to the health experts around the country, and their view is that in order to have an impact on consumption, you have to have at least a penny an ounce tax, and that's the minimum that we apply. Places like Berkeley and Philadelphia, I think, have Berkeley and Seattle had higher rates, but it's, you know, that's the number we agreed with our healthcare advocate.
Tony, did you contemplate other sugary or sweet foods or beverages, I mean, some Starbucks drinks won't be included and donuts won't be included. Those are bad for us, too. Were you at all interested in expanding this?
No, actually, the worst for you is the sweetened beverages in terms of sugar consumption. And we focused on what we knew was the most detrimental to public health, given the fact that we had to raise revenue. And we're not the nanny state. We're just government looking for resources to do the things that the public expects. And they expect the health and hospital system to be available to all who need it, and they surely expect our criminal justice system to work for the benefit of all of our citizens. So those are our major jobs. That's 87% of our budget.
I'm confused about people that are SNAP recipients. If I'm on some sort of public assistance, will I have to pay this tax?
It's not some sort of public assistance. It's only SNAP. And although we got an initial read from the Illinois Department of Revenue that we could apply this to SNAP, their most recent decision was that SNAP recipients were exempt.
Were exempt. So a SNAP recipient doesn't have to pay that. So the retailer has to. How does the retailer handle that? How do they know if I'm a? They present a card, then they don't charge them the tax. They pay a different price than the other people. Do you know how that would actually
go
at the retail point?
Apparently, we've arranged with retailers to have posted rules about these things, and those who pay for their benefits with I guess it's called the Supplemental Nutrition and Assistance Program,
right.
SNAP, are exempt from both state and local taxes, all state and local taxes.
I could see, I'm sure you could too, how that would be complicated for the retailer. Somebody has
right.
to pay
and actually, we initially promulgated rules on this in March. We've sort of tweaked the rules since, all at the request of stakeholders. The changes we've made, we put out initial rules and regulations in March, and we've added some tweaks since then, but all at the request of the stakeholders with whom we've been meeting. And actually, we've had a total of meetings or conference calls of about 20 with folks in the industry.
Yeah. I'll let you get the last word in here about all of that. So what do you say to the people in the beverage industry, the distributors, the retailers, people that are telling me that it's either going to be an inconvenience for them or may actually cost them money and jobs? What do you say to those people?
You know, I think what we've seen elsewhere in the country is that consumption shifts. And in particular, it shifts to those beverage juices, for example, which are 100% juice drinks, which are exempt from this, and water. I mean, people change their consumption habits in the same way that I think a lot of people were inclined to stop smoking just because smoking got expensive. You know, if you look at what happened in Berkeley, California, the sale of healthier beverages such as water and milk and fruit juice increased after the tax.
Hmm.
So people change their consumption patterns.
Cook County Board President Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. While you and John were talking about this tax, Cook County Clerk David Orr was talking to reporters at Daily Plaza and announced he's not going to run for re-election, that he's hanging it up, I think, after about 40 years in public service. I just wonder your reaction to that news.
Well, I heard it just before I came on air with you, and I was surprised. I know that David Orr has held his present position for almost two decades, and prior to that was in the city council. Actually, I came into the city council in 1991, and he left shortly before that. So, we thank him. We thank him for his service to the people of Cook County.
All right, it's 2:47. I know I've taken more of your time than we originally bartered for, so I will let you go. I appreciate you joining us, and Tony, please join us again.
Thanks, John, for inviting me.
You betcha. Tony Preckwinkle. All right, let's pick up a couple of phone lines. Lots of texts pouring in, too, among them ones like this. John, legalize everything, then just tax the crap out of it. John, if you're on public assistance, you do not pay the beverage tax. She confirmed that. Hey, Steve Bertrand, leave the poor folks alone. They've got enough problems just being, based on a comment Steve said earlier. Steve wasn't as against this tax as some of you. Hey, King John, they did consider taxing donuts, but the Chicago Police Union protested. Ha ha ha, says Jerry. And yeah, we get it, Jerry. All right, here's some of your phone calls. We'll start with Mark. You're on, or I think it's Mary. Mary, you're on WGN. What's on your mind? Hi.
Hi, John. She's gone now, so obviously she can't answer the question, but she keeps talking about how this tax may stop people who have diabetes or obesity from buying these beverages. But the whole point of the tax is to make revenue. So why wouldn't we tax something that's across the board so that if everybody stopped buying beverages, the revenue wouldn't go away?
So do something across the board. What would an example be? What should we tax?
Well, you know, I'm a homeowner, and I understand that property taxes, we haven't raised them or whatever, but that affects everybody who's a homeowner. You're not going to stop being in your home if your taxes go up. You know, if you're going to make a revenue, if you're justifying revenue, then you have to make something that's not going to go away.
No.
Because like I told the person who answered the phone, if everybody who has diabetes or everybody who is obese or everybody who just drinks soda stops drinking soda, the money stops coming in.
Yeah, then we're screwed. I know. It's
right.
This happens all the time with sin taxes. They speak out of both sides of the mouth. They say, we really don't want you drinking soda. That's bad for you. It adds to your bad health and our collective health care costs. But if we all take them up on that, then they're going to have to tax something else.
Okay.
They need you to drink soda.
Okay, but wait. So let's assume that it really is part of it is health. And I think they'd be happy if everyone stopped doing bad things. Let's say it's eating dirt. If everyone stops eating dirt, that's great. Our health is better. If they still need the revenue, we won't be paying taxes on dirt anymore, so they'll tax something else in replace of that.
But
then it's all good.
Right. So the net is that at least we're healthier as a result. Right, Steve?
Right. And there's more dirt around.
Okay.
I know, and I have to work with him every day. Do you see what I'm saying?
I work in retail, and I'm the one who's going through this change right now. But I just think that they've got to come up with a different way. Taxing, I agree with syntax in general. If people stop buying the product, that revenue goes away. But you still have police officers, you still have doctors, you still have firemen, you still have roads to fix. There has to be another way.
If you're an overweight smoker drinker in Cook County, you are a cash cow. You are carrying the ball for a lot of us. And thank you for that. All right, Mary, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Have a good day. You know what they have these projections. They say, and I don't know how they prove this. I'm sure there's some truth to it, but it strikes me as kind of funny numbers. They say, but if you all stop drinking soda, then you'll be less obese and you'll have fewer complications from your diabetes. And therefore, there'll be less of a strain on our health care system. So then the health care costs will go down $176 million. How did they get that? How did they get the $176 million or the $225 million or whatever it is? I mean, somebody has some sort of calculator and they punched some numbers in. It came out that way. But I'm really, honestly, hard-pressed to believe that if we raise the price of a 2-liter bottle of soda, 67 cents, that will save $200 million in collective health care costs in Cook County. I mean, really? You're going to tell me that that's actually going to happen? I hope it does, because it looks like the tax is certainly going to happen. Tony, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, hi there. Hey, I had a quick thought. Just fairly recently, didn't Archer Daniels Midland move their corporate headquarters to Chicago?
ADM was in Decatur, right?
Right. Now they're in Chicago, and they are the largest manufacturer of high fructose corn syrup in the country.
Oh, yeah, in the world, I'll bet you.
So, yeah, in the world. So how are they going to take this news? They're taxing a product that is their biggest product.
She said, probably not well. She said, though, here's what's going to happen. We're all going to stop drinking soda, and we're going to drink fruit juice, which isn't a great bargain, but okay, so we'll drink fruit juice. So all the distributors, she was speaking more about the distributors, say, than ADM, although I guess there's fructose and fruit juice, I don't know. But she said, so we're all going to switch to different beverages, so it shouldn't worry the retailers or distributors that much. They'll just have to distribute and sell different beverages, healthier ones.
Well, I would like for them to make ADM mad enough that they just put the corporate headquarters back in Decatur where they need the jobs more.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what the fallout's going to be. Tony, thanks for the call.
And hey, thanks, by the way, for trying to get a yes or no answer out of a politician. That was kind of funny.
That's all I could do, man.
She couldn't say yes or no. They can't commit to anything.
I thought I teed that up for her. I said, look, why don't you just say, I don't like this either, but we have to do it. If you want good government, you have to pay for it. I don't want to tax soda, but I have to do it. And she would not take that.
She just couldn't get the yes or no out of her mouth. No.
Thanks, Tony. Bye now. I don't dislike Tony Preckwinkle. I don't know her that well, and she's always struck me as a conscientious, hardworking, intelligent person. I have no problems with Tony. I don't know why, though. They just don't say it straight up. Everybody's thinking it. If you own it, I think you score points. 60 seconds away from 3 o'clock. Rowan Anna will come stumbling in here in a minute. Either way, the news with Judy Pilak's right around the corner. If you do not have tickets yet to Teddy Roosevelt on stage with me August 12th at the College of DuPage, get them and get them now. Good Lord, that's going to be a fun show. It'll be so refreshing. It'll be not only educational. I hate to throw that word out there because who wants to get an education? But I'm telling you, it's really a fun show, and it lifts your spirits. You feel really good about America and about this one president. You know, we had Luis Miranda on earlier, Lin-Manuel's dad. He was talking about a speech he's giving in town tomorrow, and he just said, you know, I still believe in the great American experiment, and if we don't have great leadership, sometimes the system, the process, this American thing is bigger and better than all of us. And you'll feel that when you hear TR on stage. Get your tickets by going to WGNradio.com/events. By the way, Roe was in rare form yesterday. He seems to be in a better frame of mind, at least at the start of his show now.
You were
bent.
Yes. Well, there was not too much bending of me today. There was very, very busy.
If that's the same day I'm thinking of, the promo I heard was you just went on a rant.
Yes.
You went on a tear. We deserve better than this. You were pounding the table.
It was a great moment.
It was very talk showy, wasn't it? It was sort of back to my roots. But I can't take much more of the incompetence that we see in Illinois. And I know people have been talking about this for years and years and years. And I think a lot of us just sort of blindly have gone, well, you know, it's just politics, so they'll figure
it out. That's the way it goes, yeah.
But it's not the way it goes because literally the state is swirling the bowl right now. The city is swirling the bowl. People are afraid to come downtown in Chicago. People are afraid to invest in Chicago.
Here we go again. I'm sorry, Anna.
Yeah, nice job,
didn't mean
John.
Why did you have to bring it up?
I know.
Good job.
I was just going to discuss, if you had $5 to buy the perfect husband, what would you spend it on?
Let's talk about that. If you had $5 to buy the perfect husband, what would you spend it on?
Yes. And Anna was hosting Wendy C Live today, and she said, smart and funny. And
we're underrated in this because they were only worth $1.
Yeah.
And like some of the other things, like, what was it? Good looking was $3. So you use up all your coupons there.
Smart and funny was $1 a piece.
A buck each.
Yeah.
I think that's.
Which is high on my list. So.
I know. I think that's a disservice to women. That suggests that they are more interested in appearance than personality or intelligence.
I like the way you think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, though, who's like not in a good place with her relationship. And she's like, I would take the $5 and go get a foot long at Subway. That's what she said, because I am not dealing with these headaches. And so I don't know. It's kind of a funny game people are playing.
All right, roll the ball's in your court.
Thank you very much.